Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Hebrews with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Hebrews 10, starting in verse 26, ending in verse 39, where he brings a sobering word and a warning from the scriptures about being in rebellion to God and how to turn back to your first love. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Hebrews 10, verse 26.
Well, good morning, second service. Before you're seated, please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. We are in Hebrews chapter 10 this morning. If you have a Bible, you can turn it open. Hebrews chapter 10, we pick up our reading this morning in verse 26, and we'll take it right to the end of the chapter. If you didn't bring a Bible with you today, I'd like to ask you to please follow along with your eyes and read on the center screen behind me as I read out loud, so that this portion of Scriptures, God willing, will come to life for us here this morning. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing of the Word of God. And so we give great place to it in this sanctuary at Calvary Chapel. It says this in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. The writer says this, and I want to say this before I even begin the verse. Please notice here with me as we move through this section of Scriptures, the pronouns that are used. It'll be very important for us to draw distinction based on these pronouns that the author enlists here to understand who he's speaking of. He says in the beginning, "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for the judgment and fiery indignation which he shall devour the adversaries. He," verse 28, "that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses." Now notice here the pronoun change in verse 29. He'll go from we to he. He says, "Of how much more sorer punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy? First of all, who is trodden under the foot of the Son of God, secondly, he has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified as an unholy thing. And thirdly and finally," here in verse 29, "and has done despite the Spirit of grace. For we know him that has said, 'Vengeance belongs to me, I will recompense, saith the Lord.' And again, 'The Lord shall judge his people.' It is," verse 31, "a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But," he says in verse 32, he says, "call to remembrance the former days in which you were illuminated. You endured a great fight of afflictions, partly while you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions." And then in the middle of verse 33, he says, "the other part was you used to become companions of them that were so used. For you had compassion of me in my bonds," verse 34, "and you took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away," verse 35, "therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience. You have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise." Verse 37, "for yet a little while," listen please, in the Greek that's emphatic. It's like this, "yet a little, a very little while." that will be important to us as we move through this morning. Just a very little while, and he that shall come will come. I love it. And he will not tarry. Now, the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we, pronoun shift, he went from we to he, back to we. He says, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but we are of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now, faith, he says, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Father, we thank you this morning for your word, and what a portion it is. It is so rich, God. It is full of warning. It's full of exhortation. It's sobering. It's encouraging. It's soul-stirring. It's so many of things, Lord, that only your word could be. And we're asking you now, Holy Spirit, to teach us. Open our eyes, open our ears to your truth. I pray for authority from on high. I pray for unction. I pray for an ability to deliver your word full of grace and truth. And I pray that there would be a hush in this room this morning so that, Lord, your spirit can speak to us the things that need to be spoken. Settle us, I pray, God, so that we might receive your word. And it's in Jesus' name and for Jesus' glory, all second service said, amen. You can be seated. I come to different portions and passages of scripture, obviously, each week as a line-by-line expository teacher of God's word. And some subjects are light and feathery, and other subjects are deep and heavy. This is that this morning, the latter of those two. This is a portion of scriptures that some would say is the strongest, heaviest, most sobering of warnings given in the New Testament. It's a portion of scriptures that I want the Lord to minister to each of us specifically, as well as all of us corporately. And it will only happen by the power of God's Spirit. It's the fourth of five warnings, if you would, that the writer gives. And he's very systematic in his warnings that he gives. They all sort of go together and speak to one another. They sort of run into each other from chapter 2 all the way to where we are this morning and so on and so forth. And this warning this morning is strong. This warning this morning is given, I think, with great desperation and the writer's voice, if we were able to hear it, and I understand. It's a real problem, and that is this, the problem of apostasy. It's the problem of people walking away from Jesus. That warning will be given here of those who are doing these things in verses 26 and in verse 27. If you're trying to break the chapter down and you're trying to make understanding of it as a Bible student. Then in verse 28 down to verse 31, the writer will give explanation of the warning. Because the warning is so severe, he understands by the enabling of the Holy Spirit that there are going to be people that fret unnecessarily. So graciously, because the Holy Spirit is gracious, and he's the author here, he gives the writer the unction to give explanation to the warning so that we don't have to suppose or wonder. And then the chapter closes, verse 32 down to verse 39, with exhortation. There's this exhortation. There's this soul-stirring message that he gives at the close. So we'll examine these things this morning, and I would ask you, as a student of God's word, as a hearer of God's word, that you would allow it to take deep root and sink in you personally and let the Holy Spirit do inventory with you, that you wouldn't think of other people or wonder about other people, but you would let the Holy Spirit give to you your portion. Amen? He says this to us in verse 26. He says, for if we, including himself. Now remember, Hebrews is written to Jewish believers. The epistle is written to Christians, or if you would this morning, near Christians. People who were at least playing the role, playing the part. They too would receive this letter amongst those who truly were pursuing the Lord. And the writer includes himself, as I include myself, in this portion of scriptures this morning. He says, for if we sin, now here's the important word in this verse, willfully. Because everybody reads this and they think, oh no. I am not, this is not an if thing, it's a since thing. I have sinned. I've sinned many of times. I've sinned this morning. It's second service. I've had plenty of time to sin. I sinned last night. I sinned all weekend. I've sinned all week. I've had a heck of a week. Is this me? Right away here, he qualifies the type of sinning that he's speaking about. Okay, I want to be a really thorough Bible teacher. When you leave here today, I just want you to say this. I saw Jesus and I understood Jesus' word. I don't care about any other commentary concerning me. I'm doing my very best here to be specific so that nobody is confused. I understand that my words are weighty as I share his words. So I want to be very loud and clear. He is speaking about people who sin willfully. He's not speaking about sinners sinning. Every sinner sins. He's not speaking about a specific sin necessarily. Those of you that are legalists here, those of you that are self-righteous here, you want to do that. You want to make there be certain sins that are despicable to God more so than others. But that is not what the writer is doing. He's speaking about people that he's characterizing here of an attitude of, I'm going to do what I want to do as I want to do it, okay? Those who just say, I'm doing it my way no matter what God's word says, no matter what you on the stage says, no matter what Elder so-and-so says. For if we sin willfully, not a specific sin, but an attitude that leads to repeated sins. If we sin willfully after, notice, after we've received the knowledge of the truth. The word knowledge there is not just your typical New Testament word where it means gnosko, but it's actually more than that. It's speaking of full knowledge. It's speaking of full understanding. It's speaking of full discernment. If we are a people who continue to live the way that we want to live, the way that we've always lived, after we've received the full knowledge, the full understanding, and the full discernment of the truth, this is where the judgment's going to come. If you're with me so far, would you just say amen? Okay? This is when you first come to God or you first get saved, you start coming to church and you really don't know anything, ignorance truly is bliss. God doesn't hold you accountable for what you don't know. He's very fair. He's very fair in his meeting of judgment and in his meeting of rewards. He does not hold you to for something you don't know. The writer right now is speaking to people who have full knowledge, full understanding, full discernment on the truth. And even after they've received it, they continually, willfully, deliberately go against the grain of God's word. Okay? That's who he's speaking to. He says, this is a real problem. And you want to know something? It's an even bigger problem today. Paul said to Timothy in one of his last writings, he said, in the last days, there's going to be a great falling away. That's apostasy. That's what I believe this is Paul here, is saying in Hebrews 10. This is just a few decades after Christ ascended to glory. We're a couple of thousand years since then. We are in the last days. Many are walking away from Jesus, that's apostasy, with the full truth of Jesus because they have itching ears. They don't want to do this at church. They don't want line-by-line sermons and explanations about sin and blood and the sacrifice of Jesus. They want feel-good, soul-stir, motivational-type speaking to come forth from the pulpit. They're walking away from Jesus because of persecution. They're walking away from Jesus because of ridicule. They're walking away from Jesus because sin is enticing. Okay, that's what apostasy is, walking away from him with the full knowledge and persuasion of who he truly is. This is not here just written and given to sort of spook the audience. This is because there's a real issue in the body of Christ where people who were once among us are no longer with us. These are people who have knowledge. The writer says this here, if you do this, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. If you give up on Jesus and his precious blood that washes you and cleanses you, there is no other cleansing agent apart from his blood. Period. No matter how much of a moralist you may be or how well-intended you are, if you say, I'm done with Jesus, and you go back to or go to wherever you had, there is no other cleansing agent, heaven says, apart from the blood of Jesus Christ. But a certain fearful looking, verse 27, speaking in his warning still, for of the judgment, that's speaking of a judicial condemnation for these people. and a fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. Listen, if you are a child of God, you are not an adversary of God. Okay, if you are a son or daughter of God, any sons or daughters of God here this morning? Hopefully a lot. Romans 8 says that when God's Spirit bears witness with your spirit that Jesus Christ, Lord, you now call Father Abba. He's now your dad. You are in the family of God. You've been translated out of darkness and into the marvelous light. As a son or daughter of God, you are never the adversary of God. Being backslidden is vastly different than apostasy. We'll get to that in chapter 12. When God deals with those who he loves, he chastens those who he loves. That's not this here. This here are people that at best are near believers. They are not people that have been in the absence of the body of Christ. They are people who have been in the presence of the body of Christ. They're people who know scripture. They're people who fully understand the gospel. They're people who understand prophecy. They're people that maybe even raise their hands and sway to the music. They're people who are fooling themselves because in their apprehension and comprehension of God's word, they're living willful, disobedient lives to it. And if you die that way, you are an adversary of the living God. I wish that I can be light with you this morning. I wish I could tickle your ears this morning. This is way too heavy for me that I'm responsible with. Blood is on my hands. I must give you the word of God tried and true. I cannot smooth this thing out for you. I cannot water this down. I cannot dumb it down. This is not a youth setting. This is an adult sanctuary where the Holy Spirit of God is saying to the people of God, enough with the game playing if it's happening. Enough of being on the fringe and having one foot in and one foot out, thinking that you're duping everybody. And maybe you are, but everything is naked and open before the Lord. That's the tone here. There's a fiery indignation, a judicial condemnation for the adversaries of God. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much more, he says. And here's the explanation of that willful sin. From verse 26, please listen. Verse 29 is the key to unlock verse 26. And it's threefold. He says this, how much more of a sore punishment suppose ye shall he, so see what the writer's doing here? He's saying, this is who we are, but this is who they are. Let's not let the we be part of he. Like there are people that are literally doing what I'm about to warn you of, but please, he's saying, let's not be a part of that number. Make your calling and your election sure. Make sure that Jesus is yours and that you are his. He says in verse 29, how much sorer of a punishment do you suppose shall this person who walks away from Jesus for good, right, be thought worthy of? Because first of all, there's three offenses here. First of all, they have trodden underfoot the Son of God. So here we go. Ready? Watch this. People who have full knowledge, full understanding, full discernment of the truth, apostatize, leave that, go wherever they're. Listen, apostasy is about who you leave, not where you go. So wherever you go right now, it doesn't really matter. It's about who you leave. You leave Jesus and you die that way, there is going to be a judicial condemnation, number one, with Father God. You're going to stand before Father God, the blessed first person of the Trinity, and you are going to be called to give explanation to him as to why in the world you would step on his son. Oh, Lord, please let me speak this so clear right now. This is not people who didn't know. I had the opportunity to preach this first service, so I got a lot of questions, and I hope that I can give you answers to your questions right now. This is not people who didn't know. So if you're right now going in your mind thinking, this is so unfair, God is so mean, he doesn't seem like Father God, he seems like God, Godfather. He doesn't seem like Father God, he seems like the Godfather, he seems angry, he seems mean, how could this be? No, you're misunderstanding. He's speaking to people who fully understand and still willfully lived a different way. You're going to stand before the Father, and you are going to give account to the Father why you stepped on his son. You've offended him. He's going to want explanation as to why you thought you didn't need his son's sacrifice on Calvary's hill for you. If you choose to opt out of that now in the depths of you and you know that you are, then you must be prepared is what's being said to you. To stand before Father God and give an account for why you would literally step over the precious sacrifice of his son. And all of you parents get it just a little bit. if you gave your kid up for anybody, people you love, people you don't love, and they mocked what you gave, they spit upon, like I just did, what you gave, you too would want an explanation. Is my kid not good enough for you? What is it here that made you disregard this sacrifice of my precious son? Listen, John 3:16, that first part, we don't always hang on to it because it's the latter part that pertains to us, but it's for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Stop right there. It's his son. He's vastly vested in this whole salvation process. He gave his son. You have no clue what that cost for him to give his son for you and I. And he's going to want an explanation if you disrespect his son. But it's more than that. It's not just the first person of the Blessed Trinity, it's also the second. He says there's gonna be this grave condemnation for those who have counted the blood of the covenant, middle of verse 29, wherewith he was sanctified as an unholy thing, as just this profane, common thing. You know what that means? It means this. In rejecting Jesus, now you've offended actually Jesus personally, not just his father, because you're saying this in rejecting him. His blood is just like everybody else's blood. In fact, this is really what's going on. It's a movement in 2000, almost 20. It's this, why do we got to talk about blood so much? I don't know. Have you heard it? Are you listening to the, are you podcasting? Are you streaming these guys? You don't even, it's not, listen, people are always like, oh, I don't hear him really saying anything too bad. Yeah, because it's not what they're saying. It's what they're not saying. Do we talk about sin in church still? Do we still talk about the blood of Jesus Christ, the only cleansing agent from heaven to wash us completely from our sins? Because if there's this mockery and this rejection of that precious blood, there's going to be a standing before Jesus too. One God, three persons. To apostatize means this. You've insulted the Father, and now you've insulted the Son. You've made the blood of Jesus as if it was common, like everybody else's blood. Profane. Profane, we learned on Wednesday night. It means outside of the temple. It means ordinary, not holy, nothing spectacular. It's just the blood of another man. What's the big deal? Let's not talk about that. Let's move on. Tell me how to have a good marriage. Tell me how to have a good family. Tell me how to be successful. Tell me how to, you know, be a better me, a more, you know, prominent life, yada, yada, yada. But Jesus is saying, my blood is the epicenter. And for people who make mockery and make light of my blood and ultimately reject my blood to cleanse them and to wash them and to make them as white as snow, there will be an account that must be given. And then thirdly and finally, he says, the third person. It's Father, it's Son, and it's the Holy Spirit here.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.